ow, my back. And anyway, the verse I would have used is the same one that Cynthia kind of used, just a different translation. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. My dad in that center picture, the one on the right, if you couldn't figure that out, he's a character. Believe it or not, he wasn't really the actual disciplinarian. My sweet dear mom over there kept us straight. He provided for the family. He went to work, and all in all, I've learned so much from him, and I'm blessed to still have him to this day. Feels like whenever we would get in trouble, my mom would say, all right, you guys wait till your dad gets home. And then my dad would get home, and she'd ask him, can I kill him? Can I kill him? And dad would say, no, maybe later, but not today. And then she'd get the belt out. No, but I get my sense of humor from him, I guess, or something. I don't know. He's just as funny looking as I am. So, ever since I've gone into ministry, my prayer has always been for him to see salvation, for God to touch him in a way that he could never forget it. And one thing that actually happened this week that touched me was Thursday. We were talking about an upcoming Kiss concert or something like that, and then he just texted me, and the text said, "This may sound bizarre, if I can find it on here. I think this will sound bizarre to you, but at 8:15 tonight, we should say a prayer for God's will in this situation." And ask God to cover his mom, in his protection from any kind of harm, bodily or mentally. Not for our sakes, but for her sake, in Jesus' name. And I've never heard him say that in my life. Prayer works. Prayer works. I don't know what led to that, but it was bizarre. I was breathless. I didn't know what to say, but thank God for Dad. Thank God for Dad. Amen. So today we're in Titus 1. Titus 1. If you guys could turn with me to that, we'll read through it. And as soon as we get up there, it's pretty convenient that it lands on Father's Day. There's lots of good instruction to the leaders of the church. You know, good instruction to and for all men, really, leaders of their homes and families, or at least they like to think that. And let's read chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said it: Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. The saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. May God bless the reading of his word. Some background to set the foundation and help us in our understanding of Titus 1. The letters to Timothy and to Titus are called pastoral epistles because they are intended to be guidance in leading the church, guidance in shepherding God's people, guidance in overseeing the believers. These letters are also the last New Testament letters written by the Apostle Paul. They were written after Paul's release from his first imprisonment. So from our reading in 1 and 2 Timothy, we know that Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus. Here in this letter, we see Paul has asked Titus to stay in Crete. Much like Timothy, Titus has a task to complete: to set the churches there in order and appoint leaders. So those churches must be out of order. There must be something wrong, and they're lacking in spiritual guidance, in much of the same ways the church in Ephesus was. Titus was certainly a convert of Paul's teaching. He refers to Titus like he does Timothy, a son. Much like a father, a spiritual father, much like a mentor. Verse 4, to Titus, my true son in our common faith. We know that Titus was a Gentile rather than a Jew, because Paul illustrates Titus as an example that Gentiles are saved by faith. Not by becoming Jewish or by becoming the law, they are saved by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 reads, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this is Paul, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jewish, and they to the circumcised, All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. The point being that all the others welcomed Titus as a brother in Christ, though he was not a circumcised Jew. Titus would have been one of Paul's most trusted disciples. He had traveled with Paul extensively and was often the courier of many letters to the church in Corinth. In fact, if Paul did not write a letter specifically to him or mention him briefly in Jerusalem, we might not never even know he existed at all. There were lots of Christians, lots of fellowships and house churches. Though at times it can seem like faith is wavering or starting to fade, God is still advancing. Oftentimes, with the people without title. Oftentimes, God is advancing with the people without prestige. Oftentimes, he's advancing with people without standing or reputation. And oftentimes, he's advancing with people who don't receive any applause or any recognition for what they're doing. Regular, ordinary people. God quietly goes about his work by his Spirit in the lives of people. Titus would have his work cut out for him in Crete. Much like Timothy, he would find himself in a negative environment. Much like 1 Timothy, he would have to deal with false teachers, false doctrines, and disruptive personalities within the church. Also, much like 1 Timothy, we find good instructions on establishing church leadership and moral conduct. And through all of it, all the way through this very day, I guarantee you, God has a plan. God has a plan. That goes to my next slide. God's plan. God has a plan, and it involves Paul, Titus, and dare I say, each of us. Paul, a servant of God, verse 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ to further the faith of God's elect. So who are God's elect? Who are God's elect? Are you God's elect? If you claim a salvation through Jesus Christ, you are God's elect. We can travel down the long, long road of election and have countless hours of debate on the doctrine of election, which doesn't center around the salvation of souls, but centers around how God chose to save souls or chooses to save souls, depending on your stance. Calvinism versus Arminianism? Was it predestined by God, which means you didn't have a choice? Or was it foreknowledge of God that you would make the choice, a free will? Either way lands you on the same spot, saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, it's fun to debate it, maybe quarrel over it, but it's not something to break fellowship over, amen? That faith needs to be furthered. You go through a process of sanctification. That faith needs to be deepened. It needs to be advanced. It needs to be sharpened. It needs to be developed. See, Paul just isn't wasting ink on a page. He has a purpose. He has a purpose behind what he is doing. And that purpose is the purification of the church, the advancement of the gospel, to reassure the believers that Jesus Christ is the only way. Furthering your faith means you grow from here, right? Paul is also working to increase the knowledge of truth. See, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Christ Jesus, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. To deepen our knowledge of the truth, to deepen our understanding of the life of Christ, to know the truth and act upon it. It's more than just knowing, folks. To take the knowledge of Jesus and go further in our faith, to go deeper in our knowledge of who he really is, See, God has a plan, and God has provided. God has revealed his truth to us. God says, I have a plan. Do you trust me? Do you have faith? Are you willing to lean on Jesus with all of your weight? See, God's plan would include that which you are hearing right now, to consider God's word as your source of faith and strength and the way of life. See, God's plan looks different than the world's plan. It doesn't really mix with the world's plan. It's different. It's divine. Those living God's plan will often look different than the world. They'll feel different. You'll feel some type of feeling when they're around. I don't even know how to describe it. God holds a different value system, especially for his people. Paul writes to Titus in verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message. This goes to my next slide. God's people. We are God's people. We're different from the world. We're set apart. We're sanctified. We're called to look different from the world, to be the light of the world. We're called to sound different than the world. Choose wise words, especially in moments of anger. To taste different than the world, to be the salt of the world, to smell different and to feel different. And all in all, we are called to just be different. What's wrong with being different? What's wrong with it? There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, it's one thing to talk the talk, which many of us can do. Trust me, I've heard it. But it's a whole other thing to walk the walk. Paul's calling was to encourage godliness in others by godly living. How so? By word and deed, perhaps, but more by deed than by anything else. He practiced all these things he lists here in Scripture. And he wasn't in it for the money or for the fame. And he definitely wasn't in it for the luxury of ministry. Let me tell you that. But why? Why would he face all sorts of persecution to live such a, as people would call it now, a boring life? Let me tell you, his life wasn't boring. Why wouldn't he look out for his own gain while everyone else was watching out for themselves? And they were also willing to throw him overboard whenever they needed or even wanted to. Why was he so selfless? Why would he swallow his ego and his pride only to be stepped on, beaten, stoned, and eventually killed? Why would he want to stay pure in a world full of sexuality free-for-alls? Why would he want this? Well, I don't think one is a strong enough word. Why would he desire this way of pure and holy living? Why, church? Because he knows that the Lord will continue to use him. He will continue to use him in his testimony to further the kingdom of God on earth by living out his calling. The Lord uses him, and think about it, he uses him in his testimony to this day. See, wouldn't you rather see a sermon than hear one? I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell me the way any day. Right? See, we have really good examples here at this church, and I praise God for that. Like, I like to say thank you for our head pastor, Stan, who's the same on the pulpit as he is off the pulpit. I like to thank God for Dave Linder and those who help him. He's a walking testimony who works day in and day out to keep this campus looking as pristine as it does. Thank God for Spencer, who teaches Sunday school every Sunday. Thank you to our elders, deacons, and deaconesses who keep this place up and running, not only just for service, but for other ceremonies like memorials and baptisms. And there's plenty more that goes on. I'd like to say thank you to our worship team who shows up every week faithfully, willing to lead us into worship of the living God. And I can stand here and say, out of all the sermons I have heard and studied in my life, the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see in good action is what everybody needs. It's part of a poem. I'm actually probably going to say it in a second. Paul desired to be a living sacrifice for the Lord so that others can see what an abundant life the Lord has given him. And they can desire that as well. And he has that for us too. If we go and live a holy and pure life through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not through our power, other people will see that. They will feel that and they will want it. They will desire it too. And that's the given opportunity to spread the word of Christ and to spread the love of Christ to those individuals. Here's a poem to ponder. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil, and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, your tongue too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get lessons by observing exactly what you do. I may not understand the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. And I wish I could credit somebody on there, but I couldn't find who the author was. Going down to verses 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. This brings me to my last side, God's purity. Here is where the rubber meets the road. To live a life of purity is to live out your calling in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's an exciting thing. Through this, the Holy Spirit changes you. He changes you. He changes how you think, how you act, what you choose to say, how you choose to live, how you choose to love. And he convicts the sin in your heart and prompts you to serve others as Jesus did. None of the Christian faith is about selfish gain. But it is about leaning on the power of God so that you can do anything. An example I have here is music, whether it be rap, country, rock and roll, classical, or even heavy metal, is all amoral. They're all only methods of manipulating vibrations within a medium to make sound, and it is all a gift of God for our pleasure. But it's what we do with it that matters greatly. You understand what I'm saying here? What I'm trying to say here? The pure in heart use the music they create to glorify God. And no matter what genre it is, thus making the music for God as well. The pure in heart see the beauty within music that God has created and use it to worship God with it. The impure use the music they create for selfish gain and to deceive and corrupt those who listen and take pleasure in it. See, are many musicians and celebrities out there who include God in their music. I'm pretty sure we've heard it many times. And they do that in order to give off the illusion that they are pure, that they're somebody to look up to, that they're somebody to mimic, somebody you want to be or desire to be. They give off this illusion that you want, not that you want, but that you desire their life. But in that, they convince themselves that they live this desirable life while shunning God out of it and end up falling into turmoil, forever chasing money, women or men, fame, notoriety, and pride, their ego, only to continuously try to fill this gaping hole within themselves that only Jesus can fill. But as Paul writes, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They don't do anything good for anyone, nor for themselves. And I pray and know that this is none of us in this room, but that temptation is there. But church, we're called to be pure in heart and mind and ultimately to be like Jesus in all that we do. Love God, love your neighbor. Let's pray. Father God, be with us this week and forevermore, Lord. Lord Jesus, King of Kings, we pray that you are Lord over our lives, Father. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us, to work within us, to work out of us, to serve others, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to truly know what it is to love those around us. Father God, help us to live daily by leaning upon you with all of our weight, Father God. We thank you for all the parents out there, especially dads on this day. We celebrate them, Lord Jesus. We celebrate the love that they've parted onto their kids, Father God. Lord Jesus, and may we just be a blessing to others as we go on through our lives, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Can the youth come up here, please? Wherever they may be, they scattered. I thought they were going to be over here to be like my support. But it's good that they sit with their families, right? Well, we'd like to say thank you so much for supporting us for this upcoming mission trip that we are having. We've raised enough money to pay for the trip, to pay the organization for the trip. And we currently have $857 in our account for the van. And we're going to be looking to raise to our goal of $1,500 so that we can have the van, gas, and money for emergency stuff, like emergency anything if we need it. But anyway, that comes with announcements for some upcoming fundraisers that are coming up. July 3rd, we are having the rummage sale / car wash. So it's sort of, I think we had it 2 years ago when we were fundraising for life. And so what we'll do is that we're going to sell spots out here out in the front. And it's going to be $15 a spot. Or if you want a double spot, it's going to be $30. And you can come out here and sell whatever stuff you want to get rid of. And they'll be reserved so that way no one will bother you. And the church will also be selling stuff too in the rummage sale. And then there's also going to be a car wash out here while people walk, shop, you know. Yeah. And the car wash is free. You know, they will be accepting tips. Yeah, who doesn't like a free car wash? And then the 4th of July, the church is having a church app launch party where we'll be launching our church app as well as our website. And it'll be after church. And there will also be a chili cook-off in the fellowship hall. As soon as the Spanish church ends, or whenever we can get in there, it's going to be pay to play. So it'll be $10 like to enter into the competition if you want. The prize is a $25 gift card to anywhere that you choose, really. And if you want to take the world tour of Chili's, it'll be like $5 to just taste all of them. So yeah, that's what we're doing on 4th of July, but we all wanted to come up here and say thank you. Thank you so much for the support that you've already given, and we appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Now, if you guys would stand for the benediction, and I plead that my God, not some abstract worldview or distant deity, but my Lord, the Lord, whom I have served these years, would be yours. May you trust in him. May he prove as faithful to you as he has to me. May you resist the painted beauties of this world and find your all in the God who promises you himself and all the earth besides. He is light in the darkness, comfort in the deepest valleys. His presence silences the gravest fears. He is higher, he is better, he is worthy. The greatest inheritance I long to leave you is a living faith in this most merciful God. Go, serve your God in peace. Love you guys.